Well, our Bible verse for this week that we all memorized was 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I want us to consider that verse and verse 4 also today. But here it is. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And then verse 4 continues, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And I want to approach this from the back and go to the top, because it starts out saying that what the end goal is for us to be able to escape the corruption that's in the world as a result of sinful desires. And you know, that's really what everybody wants, I think. People realize that our life is kind of imprisoned. There are a lot of people today who are in kind of a prison of anger. They're in a prison of pain. They're in a prison of poverty. They're in a prison of bad relationships. And they're in a prison of their own selfishness and their own selfish desires. And they say, man, I'd love to get out of this. And some people think, you know, well, if I could just escape, if I could just overcome poverty, then I could be happy. Well, that's not true, because there are a lot of very, very rich people who are very, very miserable people. Some people think, well, if I could just live in a different place, if I could have more friends. Look, there are a lot of celebrities who have thousands of fans, but when they go to bed at night, they cry themselves to sleep on their pillows because their life is miserable. And I tell you, there are a lot of people who will tell you, well, if you could just, well, Jesus will help you escape poverty. Well, I don't know that he'll do that. He himself was poor. The Bible says that Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. He was a man who was acquainted with poverty and sorrow and grief. Some people say, well, if I could just escape some kind of prison of affliction. Well, the Apostle Paul, we studied about it one night, Friday night in Vacation Bible School, how he was beaten and beaten and beaten, and at midnight, with his back ripped open and his blood flowing out of his wounds, he is singing praises to God. And it wasn't because he was comfortable. It was because he was confident in who Jesus was. And so God's goal is to help us escape from all the bondage that people are in. You know, there are thousands, millions, maybe a billion people who are in bondage to drugs and alcohol, and they're in bondage to broken hearts and broken homes and broken relationships and broken hopes. And Jesus says, I want to help you escape. I want to help you get out of that. And that's the reason that I have come. Because the problem that people have is not their circumstances and their situations. The problem is their own humanity, because they have a sinful nature. And that's the problem. And they think, well, how do I get a different nature? And that's really what the solution is to have a new heart. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah and says that the day is coming when I will establish a new covenant with you, and it will be a covenant of giving you a new heart. a new heart, so that the laws of God are not written on tablets of stone, but they're actually imprinted in the heart of those who have a new nature. And do you know, we shouldn't complain about people doing what their nature leads them to do. I have a dog, and I don't expect my dog to behave like a human, because my dog has a dog nature. So I expect my dog to do dog things. And so I don't ever fuss at my dog and say, well, you didn't clean up after yourself, you know, or you didn't fold your clothes, or you didn't do this or that, because I don't expect my dog to do human things. But if I had some kind of power to be able to change my dog into a human, then I would expect him to do human things, right? That makes sense, doesn't it? Well, you know, God looks at us in our natural condition. He does not expect us to live godly lives because we have sinful human natures. And so God looks at us and he says, the solution is to give you a new nature. And that's exactly what God does for us through the gospel. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a leader of the Jewish people in his day, Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You have to receive a new nature. You cannot live a godly life with a human nature. You need a new nature in order to have godliness in your life. And so Jesus says, if we go back to verse 4 of chapter 1 in 2 Peter, he says, starting from going backwards here, he says, I want to help you escape the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desires, and I do that by helping you become a partaker of the divine nature. God wants to do more than just get us out of earth into heaven. God wants to get heaven into us. God wants to get, not just for us to get to Jesus, he wants Jesus to come and live in us. That's what we talked to the kids about this week so much, is that God loves you, and Jesus died for you, and that he wants you to become one in whom Christ can live and makes his home in your heart. And so the way we escape the corruptions of the world because of our sinful desires is by being made a partaker of the divine nature. Christ in you, the Bible says, is the hope of glory. But then if we go one step beyond that, how do we receive the divine nature? And he says, this is in verse 4, he says, it is by the great and precious promises that have been given to us. We cannot achieve a new nature. I can't change my nature. If I talk to somebody who's not a Christian and I say to them, now you need to be a Christian. You need to behave like a Christian. They might could pretend. As a matter of fact, my dog could probably pretend he was human or she was human. She's a girl. And I could probably put a hat on her, you know, and put some eyeglasses on her and maybe even dress her up in a little sweater and might teach her to walk around on her back feet. And I could say, well, now, see, she's what? Well, she's a dog still, right? That's all she can ever be. She can't be a human. And so there are people who are not followers of Jesus who do Christian things, but they're not Christians. They pretend, they act like Christians, but their nature is still human nature. And they are still under the judgment and the condemnation and the wrath of a perfect and holy God. So how do they get a new nature? It is through great and precious promises. And here's the promise. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. You'll be changed. You'll receive a new nature. The Bible says, here's a promise, whoever believes in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, he will be saved. I mean, there's so many promises in the Bible. And do you know what sin's power is? Sin's power is based on false promises. The world says to you, if you just get this and this and this, you'll have joy. And people get this, this, and this, and they're still miserable. Because the world cannot give you what only God can give you. And what God can give you, the world can never take away from you. And when I talk about being a Christian, when I talk about the joy that I have and the hope that I have and the love that I have in Jesus, I can sing the song, "The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." And I'm telling you what, when Jesus gives it to you, it is given to you for good. Because he doesn't just give you a better set of rules to live by. He gives you a new nature, a new desire, a new want to in life. Before I was a Christian, I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to read my Bible. And I certainly didn't want to live for Jesus. I was wanting to live for me and for what I could get and what I could do. But the night that I trusted Jesus, he gave me a new nature. And that new nature had new hungers and new desires. And now I wanted to read the Bible. I began to read my Bible and I thought, wow, somebody's rewritten this thing. Because it didn't make sense to me before. Now all of a sudden, it's speaking right to my heart. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to hear preaching. Man, the last thing I wanted to hear before I was saved was some preacher get up and preach. In fact, my parents would make me go to church sometime, but I didn't listen. I won't tell you the things I did to keep from listening, because some of you might try it, but I did all kinds of things to keep from listening. I didn't want to listen to the preacher. But man, after I became a Christian, I had a new nature. I had received those great and precious promises, and when I, by faith, believed those promises, I received a new nature, and now I love to hear preaching. And I remember the first sermon I ever heard after I got saved, and I thought, wow, that is so interesting. And I've listened to thousands of sermons since then, and I've preached. Would it be thousands? Probably. In 56 years, I've probably preached thousands of sermons. And I don't ever get tired of hearing the Word of God. And I had such a hunger, such a longing for godliness. And I would say, God, I want to be like Jesus. And the Bible says that that's what he's doing. He's in the process of actually conforming me to the likeness of Jesus. And I say, Lord, I'm so eager for that process to be fulfilled. So, if we look at that verse 4 again, and we're going back, we want to escape the corruption in the world because of sinful desires. That happens by us becoming partakers of the divine nature, and that happens by hearing and believing the great and precious promises. But then verse 3, if we go back one more step, it says that this happens by through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And do you know that Jesus has called us to come and follow him? When Jesus was here on the earth, He went walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw a couple of brothers out there fishing, and he said, "Come, follow me, follow me." He called them by his own glory and goodness. And the Bible says they left their nets, and they went and followed Jesus. He went into a town, and there sat a tax collector, a Jewish tax collector working for the Roman government, and he said to him, "Matthew, follow me." And the Bible says he immediately shut down his business, and he got up and he followed Jesus. And he did that over and over and over again. And I want to tell you, Jesus is here today. You can't see him physically, but he's here today. Amen. And he's calling you by name. And he says, "Dylan, follow me." He calls you by name. He calls you by name. He knows every one of you by name. And he says, "Paul, follow me." He says, "Teresa, follow me." He calls you by name. He says, "Laney, follow me. Follow me. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus." And your choice is to believe and receive and to follow him. And when you do, he says, "Now, I'm giving you great and precious promises. And as you know me and follow me, I will make you a partaker of my nature. And that will allow you to escape the corruption and the condemnation of this world." Amen. And then we go back one more step, and this will be the last one, I think. Say, "Well, how can I do that? I'm so weak. I don't know how." Well, it's the key is right there in the first sentence. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. It all comes from him. And it's based on his power. How much power does God have? Well, it's unlimited. He has all power. He just spoke and said, "Let there be," and there was. Everything that exists, God spoke it into existence. There is nothing too hard for him. And his divine power has given you. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't strive for it. You receive it. It's a gift. Has given you. And if I pulled a $20 bill out of my pocket right here today and I said, "Hey, who'd like to," I'm not going to do it. I don't even think I have a $20 bill, but if I did, and if I said, "Who would like to have this? It's a gift." And let's say that Alexis, she's pretty close here, and she says, "Well, yeah, I need $20, and I'm sitting here holding it out. What would you have to do to have that if I said it's a gift? What would you have to do? You just have to take it. You just reach out and take it. You wouldn't come and say, well, what do I have to do to earn it? I say, no, it's a gift. You don't earn it. It's a gift. And you say, "Well, do I have to give it back?" I say, no, it's a gift. It's not a loan. You just have to take it. And I'm telling you, Jesus stands before you today. And he says, "I have by my own divine power a gift for you. And that gift is through knowing me, the knowledge of him who called you by his own goodness and glory." And he says, "If you will receive it, if you will receive me, if you'll receive that gift, then you will have a new nature. And you will have everything that you need for life and for godliness." You want to live a godly life? Most people say, most church people anyway, say, "Well, I'd love to live a godly life, but I just don't have enough power." Oh, yes, you do. His divine power has given you everything that you need for life and for godliness through the knowledge of him who called you by his glory and goodness. And it's through knowing him that you have all these precious promises, and you believe them and receive a new nature, divine nature. And then you escape all the filth and all the corruption that is in this world through your own sinful desires. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to sing an invitation song. Let's be just as I am. It's a song that Billy Graham always had sung at his crusades. It's a good song because it says that you don't come trying to earn God's favor. You don't come just ashamed of the things you've done and feeling like there's no hope for you. You come just like you are, just like you are, and you receive him just like he is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask you now to use this few moments at the end of our service as a means to encourage us and strengthen us and call us. And it's as if Jesus were walking right across the front of this auditorium here today, and he's calling everybody by name, and he says, come, follow me, follow me, and my own glory and goodness will grant to you, as you know me, will grant to you everything you need for eternal life, abundant life, and godliness in life. And I'll give you a new nature, a divine nature. And through that divine nature, you will be able to escape all of the corruption, the filth, the sin, the defeat that's in this world as a result of the sinful desires in your own heart and the hearts of others. And I pray that you'll help people receive and follow you today in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We invite you to like us on Facebook or visit our website, www.bearcreekbaptist.org. If you're not a member of another church, we would like to invite you to join us in person and get to know us, and let us get to know you. Have a great week, and may the Lord richly bless you.